Gentle Fracture Productions presents.
In a seat at the bar of the Wailing Griffin, a tavern in the slums of Renara, an aging warrior talks as much as he drinks, and he drinks way too much. These are his tales. Wanted, swordsman for hire. Episode 2, The Job with the Ridiculously Large Tree. The Epilogue, by Nathan Dane.
Well, I ended my tale where I did, because I felt the rest was fairly mundane. I mean, pretty much everyone has jumped out of a really tall tree at least once, right? No? Oh. Well, all right. For people in the know, once you get past a certain height, the taller the tree, the better it is to jump out of. Gives you more time to weigh your options. So when Katrinka and I jumped, I wasn't worried in the least. This was by far the tallest for me, giving me ample time to analyze the descent prospects. Glancing over at Katrinka, she too had a cool demeanor as she swiveled her own Sorcerer Sam's sack of seriously staggering amounts of storage to bear. And then I saw something I wouldn't have expected from her. A hint of panic. She called out over the whooshing wind,
"The sack isn't working."
And I called out, "Of course not. The explosion knocked out anything within its radius for at least an hour." I mean, she should have known better. I'm sure, like I did, she had a glider in that sack and probably a number of other magical doohickeys. But this one was going to be all about physical prowess and honed intelligence. And mine is a highly refined intellect. Without wasting any more time, I locked eyes on our first waypoint, then called out to her to lean with me. "Do you know that when falling, you can steer yourself a bit by tilting your body this way or that? I mean, you're going pretty fast at that point, and it's not a whole lot, but it is a thing." Point is, with Katrinka and I splayed out flat and working together, we fell not quite straight down enough that we got a long, slender branch mostly underneath us. At the last moment, I pulled her tight to my side, and by this point she knew what I was doing and clung to me with all her might. With my free hand, I clutched with phenomenal strength at the very end of that branch, which in turn bent very quickly and snapped. Some people would probably have descended into despair about then, but Katrinka and I were both laughing. That branch had just enough flex to have shifted our trajectory more horizontally than we had been. Granted, still at an eye-watering speed, but less straight down was in the right direction. And that was when it got a little hectic. That whippy maneuver sent us into a more densely packed cluster of branches and leaves, and Katrinka was securely fastened to my torso by aggressively strong arms and legs. And I let go of her just in time to grab another fistful of tree with both hands. That one also snapped, but this time we were going somewhat sideways, and within a short breath I'd grabbed another. This one held, and now we were going slightly upward in a graceful arc, only a teeny bit faster than a screaming arrow, directly toward an intertwined thicket of pointy sticks. Katrinka and I locked eyes and began an exquisite warrior's dance of acrobatic excellence. In a fluid movement, she placed her foot on my side and sprung into the air, her leap flinging me downward and under the cluster of stabby pain. As she cleared the top, I snagged a green flexi limb poking out from the bottom, which swung me upward to meet her on the other side, mere moments from impacting a massive log. Grabbing her leg on the way by, her downward momentum offset my incline and angled us perfectly between a Y of spreading branches, with her leading the way. I slid my grip from knee to ankle, making us a longer pendulum so as to clear the sudden space before us. Snagging the last limb for a while, Katrinka stretched out her body in a graceful arc before yanking her legs forward and using my weight to launch both of us out into the open. We were like majestic swans soaring through the air, if the swans were without wings and wore armor. Actually, we were nothing like that, but we were majestic, so we had that going for us. We'd slowed down considerably, and floating through the air like that, the minimal danger there may have first been had been all but negated. I plotted course, locked arms with Katrinka, and smoothly grasped the edge of a gigantic leaf. After that, it was just a few more swings of heroic brachiation, and I'd managed to set us gently on a limb about the width of my torso. All said, it was a good day's work. All that was left was to triumphantly march back down the world tree, but for some reason, no one was particularly happy. Once the adrenaline had worn off, Katrinka was all mopey about her stupid sword, and the elves never once said thank you. They just kept griping about that new gap in the bow that, seriously, if you just stepped back a little, you couldn't even notice much. I'd have thought the elves would have been more appreciative. Meh. You know how it is.
On the next Wanted, Swordsman for Hire. Episode 3, The Job with the Slugs, the Hourglass, and the Misplaced Nipple Ring.
Have you ever seen a gnome naked? I mean, sure, we see them all the time in cities and towns. They're pretty much anywhere you need a good craftsman. But have you noticed how reserved they are? Fully clothed, head to toe, typically with those weird floppy hats that completely cover their heads and neck except for the face, right? Yes, they're great at making shoes and mechanized doodads of the lethal persuasion, but haven't you ever wondered why they jingle when they walk?
Wanted, Swordsman for Hire is a creation of Gentle Fracture Productions. Written by Nathan Dane. Produced by Ashcon Stone and Nathan Tucker. Music composed by Nathan Tucker. Voiced by Nathan Tucker, Catherine Tucker, and Ashcon Stone. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to rate, share, and review. Join us on Patreon for early access to future episodes of this and other creations of Gentle Fracture Productions.